This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. Win, lose or draw, McDelivery will always help bring home the 3 points. And speaking of points, order now on the McDonald's app and you'll earn reward points through every delivery. Order today, rewards tomorrow. You in? Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So it was a 4-2 defeat for Birmingham on Wednesday, with a defeat against Blackburn at Ewood Park, with Sirikin Dembele getting 2 goals at Blackburn, firing with 4 of their goals. And Rotherham suffered a similar fate in their midweek game, losing 4-1 to Hull City. And today I'm joined by Mick from New York Talkers. We've got Rotherham on Saturday. How are you doing, Mick?
I'm all right, mate. Thank you very much. How are you?
Yeah, all good, thanks. Speaking about the game that happened midweek, I mean, both our teams conceded 4 goals. Similar sort of worries at the back. How would you assess the game on Tuesday?
Pretty much the same as every other away game we played in living memory, I think. We didn't turn up and we lost. And that seems to be the pattern. So you'll be fine on Saturday. Don't worry. Do not worry, Blues fans. You will be fine.
Well, I mean, with Birmingham, we do have a case to worry, because our form has took a bit of a dip since Wayne Rooney's come into the club. I mean, in terms of Rotherham, their managerial situation, Matt Taylor was sacked earlier this month after a big loss against Watford, and now you're in caretaker charge. What's it like sort of in terms of the managerial situation? Is there a new appointment that's being lined up in the next week or two, or is it still kind of up in the air?
I don't know. No idea. No, honestly, it's the same everywhere when a manager goes, you know, the sort of social media speculation is rife for the first 3 or 4 days, then it kind of peters out. We're into day 17 now, and people are not interested. Everybody got fed up of talking about possible candidates. I don't know whether we were live on Sky on Friday night, and they did an interview with our chairman, which was, to be honest, a bit of a car crash. He sacked the manager, then went away on holiday, so he didn't have time to start even interviewing new candidates. It feels. We know who we are as a club, as a set of supporters. We know who we are and what size club we are and what sort of club we are. We're a small club. We'll get 10,000-11,000 people a week turning up through the gates, and we'll bounce up and down between League One. We don't think that we're some sort of, you know, mega football club, and we felt that it had been run properly, and we were sustainable and everything else. And then the chairman sort of. Whether it's a knee-jerk reaction to sack Matt Taylor or not, I don't personally think it was. I think it was the right choice. But then he's sort of not done anything, and it makes us look like amateurs. That's how it feels as a supporter. You know, none of us know what goes on behind the scenes, do we? But certainly as a supporter, you listen to the interview with him, and he doesn't appear to have done anything. And we're 17 days into being managerless, where 7 points adrift of safety. We haven't won an away game for over a year. I think we've probably got 2 or 3 points. I've got some stats I'll bore you with, but you know, it's just, and we don't seem to be making any headway, and it's a bit of a worry. I mean, there's plenty of names in the hat, or in the bag, as the chairman managed to say. He's got letters in the bag rather than names in the hat. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, so, but it doesn't appear that there's been any movement on it at the moment.
And I mean, in terms of sort of managerial situation, with Rotherham in the past, you've stuck sort of quite loyalty managers, because obviously you had Paul Warne in charge and then was relegated three times sort of when he was in charge, but then he got you back up, didn't he? So it seems to be a decision that's taken, you know, with the future in mind. You say about Rotherham sort of knowing what you are as a club, but this summer you did break your transfer record twice, didn't you, with Sam Nombe coming in and Christ Tehi as well. Yeah. So it's some decent signings. I mean, Tehi's featured more, hasn't he, than Nombe? So how would you sort of evaluate how they've bedded in so far?
Christ Tehi is a player. He is a proper player. However, he's still a little bit raw, and he's not playing in a team that kind of complements him. But he's a hell of a player, and hopefully, given again who we are, he'll progress, and we'll be able to sell him on at a profit and rake a little bit of money in. As far as Sam Nombe is concerned, it's a real strange situation. I mean, we ended up having an emergency podcast because we'd paid £1 million for a player. We're Rotherham United and we paid £1 million for a player. You know what I mean? It was like amazing stuff. And then he sat on bench under Matt Taylor, which was really strange. He made a few substitute appearances, made a bit of an impact, but not massive. But since Matt Taylor's been sacked, he's either started or featured in every game and done really well. And he's clearly going to be a player, but he's got some development to do. He's never played at this level before. So whether he features on Saturday against yourselves, who knows? I mean, we don't even know who the manager is going to be. So, you know, no idea who the players are going to be. But two quality players.
Yeah, and I suppose it's all about just, you know, getting the right game time, because Tehi's featured in a lot of games. I think he's featured in every championship game, scored a brilliant goal against Ipswich to level it late on. And then also you've got a draw against Leeds as well. So it tends to be sort of at home, there are results that come here and there, but it is the away form that's the struggle, I guess. So in terms of sort of fixing the away form, what is kind of the main problem that you've had in the last year of sort of, you know, going to games away from home thinking, right, this is going to be it, this is going to be the game we win, and then it just doesn't happen?
I mean, if any Birmingham fans are interested, just pop back and listen to our last 8 or 9 podcasts, and we've hammered this to death, and we still haven't got a first idea what on earth the problem is. Because, you know, the form at home is very, very good. We drew against Blackburn 2-2. That should have been a win had it not been for the referee, who was absolutely appalling. That would have been a 2-0, possibly 3-0 victory. We lost 2-1 to Leicester, gave them a proper game. We had a goal disallowed that nobody still has any idea why it was disallowed. I don't think even the ref had an idea. We beat Norwich. We gave Leeds a good game and arguably could have beaten them. We could have beaten Ipswich. Their second goal went in off about 4 parts of the striker's body and trickled over the line. It was one of them, you know what I mean? It was one of the, you know, when you're down there and it's not a bounce.
It doesn't fall for you, does it?
Yeah. One of those sorts of goals. So we arguably could have got something out of that game. But at home, we are a completely different side. And I mean, I can't tell you the extremes, you know, it's just bizarre. And then we got a Hull City the other night, 3 or 4 minutes in, we get a back pass to the goalkeeper that was never, ever going to even reach the 18-yard box, let alone the keeper. And we're 1-0 down, and that's it. That's the end of that. And the heads go down. And it's just a bizarre situation. I don't know. So I don't know what the answer is. But what I'm absolutely confident is that when we turn up on Saturday, you'll get the away team. And if you get the away team, the points are as good as yours, as the stats say that, you know. But also the manner of the performances, certainly for the whole of this season away from home, with possible exception of about the first 20 minutes against Sunderland, they've just been woeful, dreadful.
Yeah, and last season, it was actually at sort of St Andrews that we beat you guys, and then at your ground, you guys beat us 2-0. And that was kind of at the start of the season when Birmingham fans are thinking, oh God, I don't know what's in store for this season. Because it was sort of at that moment where we still had the dodgy owners. We were bookies' favourites to go down. So all this kind of stuff where you're thinking, oh God, what's going to happen? And last season, both Birmingham and Rotherham were kind of tipped for relegation, but did stay up. And there was only 3 points behind between Birmingham and Rotherham. So there was sort of not much of a gap between the two teams. So how would you sort of evaluate things going from last season to this season and kind of what's different because of the situation that Rotherham find themselves in now?
Last season was unusual. I mean, we were fighting you for that 18th place trophy last season, weren't we?
And oh, yeah.
Let's do it, didn't you? We had a really good start at the beginning of last season under Paul Warne. Really, really good start. I think we were up to eighth at one point, which is ridiculous. We ended up with a nosebleed and toppled back down to the bottom. But he then obviously disappeared off to Derby. Matt Taylor came in, and it took a while to really gel. Then we had the World Cup, and we came back after the World Cup playing exactly the same way at home and away as we are doing away now. We were awful, absolutely awful. We had a decent run of results just after Christmas, and that kind of saved us. But I think that opening 8 or 9 games under Paul Warne were the games that kept us up in reality. And I think it's impossible to say, isn't it? But I think arguably, if we had the full season under Matt Taylor, we may not have stayed up. But yeah, it was a pleasure to go to Wigan on the last day of the season and absolutely nothing to play for. I say a pleasure. It was a bit unusual, really. not used to that kind of thing. Every season for six seasons, I think we've either been relegated or promoted.
Mm. And so, that's a big yo-yo club then.
yeah. A bit of a damp squib end of last season, to be fair. But I can't see that happening this year at the moment.
Because Birmingham, I mean, obviously we've had our fair share of relegation scraps and last day survivals or whatever. And last season, there was a bit of a feeling like that for us as well, where we kind of was in that position where, you know, you're sort of lower bottom half, but safe. And this season, it's kind of getting to the point where we are maybe looking over our shoulder a little bit and kind of looking at those bottom three teams and thinking, right, who's getting the points or whatever? Because it is kind of in that moment with Birmingham fans where you can never really write off a relegation battle with us. And I mean, with Rotherham, you know, your time in the Championship, it always seems to be, like looking over your shoulder kind of thing.
Yeah.
So what kind of has to happen at the club to try and sustain that Championship level? Because it's been, as you said, you know, yo-yo for so long. Because the sort of money seems to be going in terms of breaking your transfer record twice, but it seems to be on the pitch, really.
Yeah. There are some quality players in there. There's no doubt about it. We've suffered massively this season with injuries, hugely. You know, we started off the season really positive about our defence, and then it was hamstring, and all of a sudden we didn't have a defence, you know, literally within sort of 3 or 4 weeks. And I think we've got 4 or 5 currently out with hamstring injuries, 2 of whom are long term, both of them are central defenders, one's a quality central defender. I think the other one is, as a Birmingham fan, you're not probably not quite as keen on Tyler Blackett as we are.
Maybe not.
He's been absolutely immense for us. He was absolutely immense for us. And he did his hamstring the week after Cameron Humphreys, who was a fantastic player. So that sort of set us on the back foot straight away, really. I honestly, genuinely don't know what's going to end, what's going to sort of take us forward. But I think ultimately, a manager with Championship experience, and it, because that we haven't had one, in all reality, the only Championship manager that we've had in the last 6 years was Neil Warnock, and we only had him for 3 or 4 months.
He's in the market.
He's not, though. Unfortunately, he's not. His wife's taking him away in December, so he's not allowed to work.
Oh, I see.
And his wife's in charge, as we all know. So. I don't think he'd come back to us, to be honest with you, given the position that we're in, albeit he did it with Huddersfield last season, didn't he? The name on everybody's lips at the moment is Nathan Jones, because obviously he's out of work, and my understanding is that he has been interviewed this week, which, you know, for any other club, probably make these supporters think, well, if he's been interviewed, he's a fair bet that he's going to get the job. But we're Rotherham United. You know, and before we employed Matt Taylor, we interviewed someone else, offered him the job. He took the job, and on his drive home, rang up and said, "I don't really want it." You know, and that's the kind of thing. That's the kind of situation we're in, because the chairman will not throw money about. He's a Yorkshireman. But he's a very astute businessman, and he will not throw money about. And he struggles to back managers and or it has done in the past. And I suspect that might be the stumbling block to any Championship manager coming in. Be great if we could get to Nathan Jones, because he's been there and done it on a similar sort of budget. But I think there are issues with his Southampton contract as well. So, and we certainly won't be paying that off.
No. I mean, yeah, last year Nathan Jones was managing the Premier League, wasn't he, with Southampton? I mean, he didn't exactly do that well there, but that's sort of a name that has been associated with the Championship before with his success at Luton Town. So that may be something, you know, like an underdog kind of thing where it's a team that perhaps doesn't get the backing that a lot of Championship teams do. So Nathan Jones could be a good one actually to look at. So sort of throwing forward to Saturday's game, what do Rotherham sort of have to do to get the 3 points? Like, what kind of things are you looking for in Rotherham's performance style of play wise that perhaps you've seen earlier in the season and you thought, if we play like that away from home, we'll get the 3 points?
I mean, given your form at the moment, and you know, I know it's up and down, and you've obviously had the change of manager, and Rooney is, well, my understanding is he's kind of polarised Blues fans. You know, some are up for it and some are completely against it. There's not a great deal of middle ground. And I get that, particularly given the manager that was sacked because he was doing so well. So your form is obviously, like I say, up and down. And the manager, arguably, if he were to lose against a team that's not won away from home in a year, he might start feeling a little bit of pressure on his job, not on his financial situation, obviously. But, you know, if we could turn up to St Andrews on Saturday and play the game that we played against Leicester, against Norwich, against Leeds, I'd be confident in saying we'd probably get a result out of the game, given your situation at the moment. However, it's just not going to happen. You know, it's just not going to happen. As soon as anything goes wrong, as soon as we concede, God forbid if we concede early, that's going to be just horrendous. The confidence is just not there. So if we were to play the way we play at home, you'd expect a high press. You'd expect, a physical game, and we'd be kind of getting in your faces and winning those midfield battles. But I just, it's not going to happen.
When you see something for so long, sort of associating Rotherham with away games, you kind of just become, you know, used to it, I guess. But with Birmingham, like with us guys, like you never really know what team's going to turn up, especially under Rooney, because we saw sort of on the game on Wednesday where, you know, second half, we started so badly. Like first half, it was a good performance.
Yeah.
Before you know it, second half, 3-0 down. And then you had glimpses of it where you have those attacking sort of threats with Srikhi Dembele getting two goals. Yeah. And then we sort of try and push everyone up and then we concede another. So defensively wise, I'm really worried, but attacking wise, I'm kind of optimistic. So with Birmingham games now, I'm thinking, right, if we're going to win a game, we have to score at least two goals, because I think you guys will score because of our defense at the moment, because it seems to be all over the place. So if I'm giving you any confidence, then by saying our defense is so shaky,
I don't think you are. I'll give you an indication here. Away from home, we've played 1,890 minutes, and out of that, we've been winning in the lead for 50 minutes, 5-0 minutes. We've not won once.
Specific. Wow.
We've drawn seven times. We've conceded 46 goals. 46 goals we've conceded and scored 10.
Jeez.
That's been this calendar year, and we're now in December. You know, and it's just, it is awful. And I feel, you know, I feel bad because, you know, I feel like I'm slagging the club and I'm slagging the players, and I'm not, you know, but I just don't know what the answer is. But all I'm doing is sort of reflecting how these performances make you feel as a supporter. And you obviously are well aware of that, given your sort of recent history. You know, it's soul destroying at times.
Oh god, yeah, tell me about it. Literally 17th last season was our best finish in what, 7 years? Yeah. So we're celebrating that like we won the league or whatever.
Yeah,
so yeah, it tends to be sort of in those times you look for glimpses of optimism, and a glimpse of optimism for Birmingham fans coming into this fixture is that Rotherham have only beat us once in the last nine meetings, and the last St Andrews victory for Rotherham was in 2015, and a former Birmingham player scored in that game for Rotherham and Matt Derbyshire. So yeah. In terms of sort of former, you know, memories, whatever, past encounters of Rotherham and Birmingham, what can you remember from the fixture in the past?
Away, very little other than losing. that's pretty much it. I love it when the Blues come to New York. It's great. And I'm not blowing smoke up your backside. Birmingham are, without a shadow of a doubt, the best set of supporters that we ever have at New York. Every time, consistently, they create a fantastic atmosphere. And generally, I think we generally get a result against you at our place as well, which is even better from our point of view. At your place, I don't have any memories, particularly any good ones. But I might be just being clouded by what's happened in the last 12 months. I don't know.
yeah. And I mean, maybe a new memory is going to be made on Saturday. But in terms of the score prediction, what are you thinking, Mick?
I'm going to go 2-1 to Birmingham. If you're saying we're going to score, we'll go 2-1.
I think I'm going to go 2-1 as well, actually. It's kind of similar to Sheffield Wednesday in like the fact that they scored first, then we kind of needed that, you know, kick up the backside to get going. Mm. I think something similar may happen in this Rotherham game. But yeah, maybe that's me being optimistic. But in terms of sort of any final thoughts, Mick, what's going on sort of on the Rotherham channel that you work on, New York Talk? What's sort of happening there at the moment? And is there anything we can look forward to seeing from the game on Saturday?
pretty much. You'll probably get an hour pretty much of what I've just said, but from the four three of us. And then lots and lots of people in the comments echoing pretty much the same thing. It's just, yeah, we're not a happy place at the moment. Things may change, you know, we might get an announcement tomorrow that I don't know, Nathan Jones or Neil Warnock has been appointed, and you know, everybody, the optimism returns. But until the away performances pick up, all you're going to get pretty much is people saying, when are we at home next?
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Mick. It was a fantastic chat. Hoping that Rotherham's fortunes do turn over for the good, maybe not from Saturday, but after Saturday.
Yeah.
You guys can sort of pick up some form and get a new manager in and get up the table. So thank you so much for coming on the channel, Mick. It was a fantastic chat. We've got the podcast coming up later on today, tonight, and we also have a vlog coming from the game as well. So make sure to like, share, comment, subscribe, and most importantly, keep rolling.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.